This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
I'm in Seuss mode right now. It's like, who view, we view.
Oh, what?
Yeah. You view.
Who view, you view. We all view.
Who've you viewed lately?
Oh, God.
Who've you viewed lately?
I'm closing my ears to all this.
All right. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Today's topic is, what were we saying? Who view, you view?
I don't know. I'm in Seussical Junior mode right now, so everything rhymes.
We view, you view. Okay. Actually, what the topic is about is the importance of seeing theater, for theater enthusiasts to see theater, not just do plays and shows, and not necessarily just seeing the shows at their own theater, but seeing a variety of things, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, the things that you can learn by going to live performances other places, or even coming to your own theater. Some people just do the shows that they do, and they don't ever come back to see a show until they're ready to do another show. It's like, see, you got to see live theater to make your performances stronger.
Absolutely.
And better.
Right.
And
absolutely.
You see how actors handle different staging, well, the directors and actors handle different staging problems, and
right.
you get ideas.
Yeah, I think it's very important, from my standpoint, because I write about live theater.
So you see live theater all the time.
I see it all the time, and it appalls me when I hear people coming out of a theater raving about what a wonderful show that was, when myself and the person that always goes with me, we know theater a lot for 30 or 40 years, and we know that it was not a great production.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have some line of to judge things on. You know, you can't just go say, oh, wow, they remembered all their lines. That was amazing. Not amazing. That's the basic thing that an actor has to do. But did they create a character? Did they follow through? Were they believable and not just stiff as a board saying out lines like they, you know, were reading them off a page?
Right.
And you don't realize this, how many people do that, unless you expose yourself to different live theater productions. Around here, there's at least three or four places that you can go easily to see theater. One is a very teeny tiny stage where sometimes they do really great stuff, and sometimes it's like they bit off more than they can chew, really.
Yeah.
And then there's other places like in South Bend where they have a huge stage, and sometimes that's their problem, mm-hmm. is that stage is huge, but sometimes they get some really, really good performances out of that.
Right.
And then there's the colleges. They all have live theater at some point in their school year. And then there's the opera house where we do a really good mix. I think we do comedy, we do musicals, we try and do a drama as much as the audience will accept and buy tickets for, and we do mysteries, and you know, there's just all kinds of things out there, and it's not horrendously expensive.
No.
If you don't go to like Chicago, where the minimum ticket probably now is about $50.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you can see all this stuff for a really reasonable price, and some of it would amaze you, it's so good, and some of it will appall you because it's so bad.
But there is value in seeing something appalling.
Absolutely there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I've seen a lot of appalling.
Well, you know, it's,
you feel cheated maybe a little bit, but on the other hand, you know, it's definitely conversation fodder after the show.
I always feel cheated because it gives me a story for the rest of my life.
Right.
You
know,
I always feel the night I wasted two hours of my life.
And it always makes me feel really good because I know where to go if I want to see pretty consistently good theater, solid theater all the time. And I, you know, and then it makes me angry because more people don't realize that, you know.
But I think for me, the going to see other theater, live theater is it's a way of growing.
Yeah.
You see, yep. If you see bad work, you see things in that work that you say, oh, why did they do that? Why did they do that? That just didn't work. And in your brain, you're keeping those things in like a little filing cabinet that eventually will come out when you're directing a show or performing and say, oh, you remember that time you went to see that show and that kind of thing just didn't work, you know,
right.
And this and there's an equivalency here and let's not do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm creating a character here. I don't want to be buffoonish. And if I'm not careful, it'll go buffoonish and it will ruin the whole
right.
scene. So, I mean, there are things that you can learn and good things too.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't start exploring. We were talking about this the other day, Marcia and I were, about hand gestures. And I didn't start exploring hand gestures until I went and I took a semester in England. And one of my courses was to view professional theater. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed at how the actors use their hands. And I had never really seen it because it had never been emphasized to me.
Right.
And suddenly my brain was like, wow, look at how they're using their hands. And then I realized that it's another character. You know, it's another part of your character.
Right.
Right.
And it needs to be incorporated. And so that started my head working. And then when you see live theater and you see somebody standing with their arms down to their sides or the traditional fig leaf or the traditional yeah. military stance, and it's like, you know, unless you're trying to play Adam after the fall, or unless you're trying to play something in A Few Good Men, or, you know,
yeah.
that you really need to think about how your body posture creates part yeah. of your character. And you can do that, I think, by seeing good live theater or bad live theater. You know,
now here's the other side of that too, is if you don't know how bad it is, you might have more fun.
What do you mean if you don't know how
yeah
bad
you're exactly
it is?
I'm
right,
sorry,
because you
I'm
can't
sorry
let it
we
go.
And this is a true thing. We've had people come I've known people who have said, boy, we saw that show and it was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no idea how bad
that's,
it was.
That's just what I said.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
not going, oh my gosh. And but usually it's followed by they learned, they never miss their lines. They said all their lines perfectly.
Well,
we had that wonderful. Oh,
we had a reviewer in the area who once wrote a review on one of my shows about how well people memorized.
Oh God. Well, who was it me?
No, no, it was not. It was not you.
This
no,
is not
no.
the time to no. bring that up, David.
No, 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 no. Whoa. This was a reviewer in the nearby city.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that.
Really. And it was like, I remember reading
the
review
well
thinking.
How well they memorized?
Oh yeah.
But that could have just been like, they didn't enjoy the show and they were just trying to find something.
Oh
nice
my
to
God.
Or they
too.
Didn't know.
But no, you know, I think if they hated the show, they should have just said that. But
I agree with you, Dave, totally, is that sometimes, being so sometimes hypercritical of
yeah.
theater
uh-huh.
Makes it very difficult to enjoy a performance when you go see a show.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brain is always going,
that's
why did they choose
true.
That set? Why did they choose to do that? Why didn't they paint that floor? Why didn't they
use a different color on
why
their
did that
dresses?
Actor have a Bronx accent
yeah.
when they were living in
London?
In London. Yeah.
It's right, right, yeah.
yeah. It's like
yeah.
those
yeah.
kind of things drive you crazy. Whereas if you could just go in and just relax and let it go.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, when you see a good show, and it doesn't have to be a professional show.
No.
It can be a good quality show at any yeah. local community theater or high school. When you see it,
it's amazing.
And your brain your brain doesn't go there.
Right.
Your brain allows you to enjoy it.
Because it is that good at taking you away from the moment.
It takes you away.
Right.
And, you know, like I walked into a show not too long ago at one of the local community theaters, and I saw exposed casters on a set piece. As a set designer,
yeah.
now, as a set designer, I say to myself, I understand sometimes you have
sound
to expose
like
the casters
Whoa.
Because, you know, you don't want things getting stuck under the wheels and you need enough clearance
right.
and blah, blah, blah. Until you realize that there was no reason for it. And so my brain then focused on this
sure.
silly little thing, and I wasn't able to enjoy
it's
portions
not,
of it.
But it's not silly if that's what it does to you.
I know. Or bad sound quality.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think bad sound quality can actually hurt a show more than poor lighting
and,
in
and
some
as a director,
respects,
it's a good thing for us to continually remember, and going to see live theater helps you. And again, I've been to professional productions where the sound quality was so bad that my enjoyment of the show was not there.
Right.
And I spent $100 for the ticket. You know, and
it also reminds you about things like good diction and projection.
Oh yeah,
as well. Wow.
And all those things.
We could
valid
do a whole
reasons.
Thing on diction, you know.
But I'm always surprised at the number of actors who do not go see live theater, mm-hmm. and I try to encourage it all the time, because how can you make yourself better if you don't see bad performances and good performances? And the same, I encourage live actors to see movies. You know, because you get good performances in movies and bad performances in movies.
Right.
And it's still, every time you see a performance, it helps you create some sort of opinion, at
sure.
least.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and I'm surprised at the number of people who, when you say, well, you know, have you ever seen this show?
Mm-hmm.
It just played last week in Goshen or whatever. And they say, no, I've never seen the show. And it's like, well, you had the opportunity to go see it and you didn't. You had the opportunity to go see this show and you didn't, and mm-hmm. and yet you're not sure how to do this or this or this. But if you saw live theater, it would just start to really click for
right.
you.
Yeah.
Do you this kind of brings up a director issue. Should directors see shows that they're getting ready to direct themselves?
Oh, that could be a whole nother topic.
That's another. That is kind of another topic. Yeah, because I think that you can get bad ideas.
I'm writing it down for another show.
There's an
show.
Old
another
adage
show.
About steal what you can.
Well, that's true too. Okay. Well, let's.
If you see it and it's good, why not steal it? You know,
right. Right.
Who's going to know?
That's
I
right.
will say that just yes. Directors should see the show that they're directing.
In general, somehow.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. Can I just inject this? There is a danger in if you see it like in a video or something or on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And watching it over and over and over,
uh-huh.
you know, and kind of patterning what you're directing or whatever character you're performing, and making it. You think that's really good because it's on YouTube, okay? And so, well, I mean, a lot of people
YouTube, the standard of excellence.
Yeah, really. Oh, that's a whole nother thing. But I just think if you need to get the sense of how the whole thing fits together, then maybe watching a video or a movie is
yes.
okay.
Yes.
But there are some times when the movie is so far removed from the stage play, which is what happened recently.
Right.
That you go, why would they even bother to do this play when the movie was so great?
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know what I mean? I just,
an adaptation of a movie to a play kind
well,
of
Well, it was supposed to be based on the book.
Uh-huh.
Both were based on the book, but the movie was just so head and shoulders above the play, which it was like sleep inducing. Kind of.
What show is this?
Never mind. I'm not saying, David. Good Lord. You want to know
we're
better
talking
than
about,
just
well, you're talking about movies and plays.
Just think, something yeah. for us to remember for our next
something
meeting.
Something for us to remember, yes.
All right. What about movies?
What about
do movies?
They're too expensive.
Well,
what
besides,
can I
yeah,
tell you?
Right. Yeah. Actually, the popcorn is what I really complain about.
Oh, jeez.
Lower the price on popcorn.
There
that's
you go.
Okay. But in terms of live in terms of seeing performances, movies can be valuable.
I think they can. You have to be careful because
okay,
movie
now,
acting and television acting
I'm
are different.
I'm going to disagree with that because movies, you shoot a scene. It may take only 15 seconds or half a minute. You do it and do it and do it until you get what the director wants.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that in a play.
Right.
You create a character and you have to sustain it from beginning through the middle to the end. Okay. In a movie, sometimes you shoot the end before you even
sure.
get the beginning.
But does it give you some tips and ideas about
yeah, well, I wish I could do accents like Meryl Streep, but that, you know.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, yeah, okay. And motion picture and television actors have the advantage of things like close-ups where they can do more subtle gestures
exactly.
and things like that. So it's a different kind of performance.
Yes, and they have to learn, trust me, they have to learn a totally different way of being in the moment instantly, no matter, and not having 2 hours maybe to build up to this moment,
mm-hmm.
the way you do in a play.
Right. But you see the whole as a performance. So I mean, the act, The technique of acting is different, but it's still, you're seeing a whole performance.
Right. Even though they've done it out of sequence.
They may
possibly
have done it in a different way than what a live theatrical performer may arrive at that conclusion, but, you know, or at the climax of a show. But they still arrive at that moment. And I think the performances can be valid. But you're exactly right. I mean, the whole idea of close-ups, really, our audiences don't get them unless they look through opera glasses.
Right,
you know,
right.
Very few of our audiences bring opera glasses, even though we're
that's why you have stage makeup, so you can have big eyebrows, so this works.
Exactly.
100 feet away.
Oh,
geez.
Right, David. Okay. I'll remember that.
I was doing the Belushi eyebrow raise.
Really?
I can't even do it.
No, it's there.
That's
it's
okay.
There.
Anyway, okay.
It's all that Botox.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Anything else about seeing other theater?
Just do it.
Yeah. Really. And doesn't matter if it's a comedy, if it's a drama, if it's a musical, if it's on a big proscenium stage, if it's on a little black box, doesn't matter.
What about puppet shows?
Valid.
Yeah.
Totally valid.
I was asking sort of humorously, but that
totally
the puppet theater is
totally
valid
because it's a different technique. I mean, it's
right.
The idea of how sometimes when you're an actor, you have to take a character slightly larger, and that's what happens with puppets.
Right.
That, you know, they have to do more. Say a marionette has to make a larger gesture for it to read to the audience.
Right.
Sometimes that could be incorporated into the right kind of comedy.
There's a lot of voice acting involved in that.
There's
too.
A lot of voice acting. So right. I think, I think every live performance is valid. I think going to see a symphony could be valid sometimes too. If it moves you in the right way and you can remember that piece of music. And it helps you arrive at a different place in a creating.
Well, that's
a character.
Why in silent movies, I go back because I love old silent movies. Mm-hmm. Someone was always on the set playing a piano or a violin or some kind of mood music to get, you know, you see it and they make fun of it in Singing in the Rain. You know, it's as they were making, going from a Western to a romance to a swashbuckler. But music has a lot to do with that.
I think that might be a great topic for coming up about music and how it can affect a performance.
There you go.
You know?
Okay.
All right.
But
cue the violins.
Cue the violins.
I'm going to cue the music at about this point because I think we'll wrap up this episode. I guess the big word for the day is see live theater. As much as you can.
That's four words.
It helps yourself, and you know what? It supports the arts in our community.
It does.
That's right. And in your community, even if you're in Pakistan. Okay.
Anywhere. Community theater everywhere.
Okay. That's it for us from Theater Geeks for this time. Please stop by the website, which is www.theatergeeks.com, and check out the store where we have all sorts of stuff, including what, John?
There are baseball caps.
Yes, there are.
And coffee mugs.
Okay, there are underwear.
There is underwear, but it's not. Yeah,
yeah. That's no one not, will know if you buy
it. It's not our main product. No one will know. No, it comes in a plain brown wrapper.
David, just...
All right. Never mind. Also, please, you can listen to this podcast and all of our podcasts via iTunes. Download to your favorite podcatcher. We are on the Blueberry Network. You can pick us up on Roku if you've got one of the over 2 million Roku boxes out there in the world. And we are also available in the Zune Marketplace. So just a number of different ways to catch Theater Geeks. So please do that. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.